Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Good evening. How's everybody tonight? Blessed and highly flavored. Thank God we don't go by how we feel. We'd be in trouble. Glory, glory. This is the night the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? Because we have a choice to rejoice. Praise God. Welcome to Tuesday night training. Training for reigning. Amen. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10, please. Glory. Expect and keep expecting the flow and the touch. Keep expecting, expecting, expecting. We ask for him to remove everything that's not been planted by him. Don't let go. Amen. Don't let go. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. Oh, wow. Read it with me, please. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Christ, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. The veil here is a representation of a dimensional barrier. Where there's a veil, there's a dimensional barrier. That is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. He says boldness, having boldness. Boldness is aggressive authority. Some people don't have boldness because they don't know who they are. Boldness is aggressive authority. He said, we need to have boldness. He said, to go through that veil that's a dimensional barrier. Jesus paved the way as a dimensional port to heaven. Amen? By the price of obedience and death. He paid the price of obedience and death. In other words, he made this eternal port. He busted through the dimensional barrier that opened up heaven. Not only for God to have fellowship with man, but man to have fellowship with Creator. And so we need to have boldness, aggressive authority. The word says something powerful. It says the heavenlies are taken by force. In Matthew 27, aggressive authority, boldness, is actually associated with faith because faith is movement, isn't it? Faith is also movement. In Matthew 27 and verse 45, it says, now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, this man is calling for Elijah. Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come and save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, yield up his spirit. Then behold, the veil, that dimensional barrier, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earthquake and the rocks were split, and the graves were open. And many of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. In other words, the graves were open, and many of the saints were visible that were still dead. This was during Jesus' ministry. These were the ones during Jesus' ministry of three and a half years as he ministered. They followed him. They accepted him as Lord and Savior. They died in that period of time. Those that died in that period of time when Jesus broke the barrier, that dimensional barrier, and when he rose again, watched, and it says the graves were opened and many of the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, but they didn't come alive yet. Then, coming out of the graves after his resurrection, because he is the resurrection of life, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when a centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Jesus penetrated the dimensional barrier of Satan's kingdom, bringing light and life, which released those beyond the veil of captivity into the first fruits of resurrection. Does everybody understand that? This arena was the first time in reality where a multitude of people were raised from the dead. It was power. First time power that mankind had really seen this power where multitude of individuals were actually who were dead pulled out of their graves and went in and spoke. They went in to see Uncle Sam and Grandma and many of their relatives, and they blew them away because Jesus did something very powerful. He not only penetrated. Penetration means that there's a resistance there. When you penetrate, there's a resistance. So one of the things we have to do is with this boldness, aggressive authority, we must penetrate the dimensional barrier to infiltrate. You cannot infiltrate without first penetration. Does everybody understand that? Jesus was actually what we call a weapon. He was a penetrating weapon of God Almighty. He was not only the voice of God, he was the tongue of God, he was the power of God, and he was the sword of God. He came to penetrate for me and you, the powers of darkness, Satan's kingdom. Does everybody understand that? So why? So you and I could infiltrate. In Luke 9, penetrating weapons. In case you might want to know the name of this training session, penetrating weapons. It's unfortunate many believers who say they're believers don't even use them. Luke 9 and verse 23. Is everybody there? And then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him what? Deny himself. Pick up his cross. That cross means sword. Pick up your cross. Pick up your sword daily to what? To fight. To penetrate. Has everybody got that? So you're to deny yourself. You're to pick up the sword and penetrate. And then you're able to infiltrate. And that's called follow. Is everybody with me? So he said, there's something you must do. You must deny yourself. Quit trying to figure out how to do it your way and do it Yahweh. He says in verse 24, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and then he himself is destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. Jesus penetrated to set the captives free. Again, he said, deny yourself. Stop doing it your way and your way of thinking. Pick up the cross, pick up the sword, which is the message of truth. Use that to penetrate so that you may infiltrate. There's a lot of people trying to do infiltration when they've never even penetrated yet. And there's a lot of people that penetrate and then don't infiltrate. They stand there after they do it. And they wonder why they keep getting thrown out in Matthew 10. They wonder why they keep losing battles. See, a battle must be fought all the way through, not halfway. Too many people start a battle and don't finish it. They want to turn it over. But God's given us penetrating weapons. Jesus came as the example of the true penetrating weapon. And he gave us everything to penetrate so that we could infiltrate. Amen. In Matthew 10:32. Oh, hallelujah. Would you read it with me? Matthew 10:32. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. There will never be peace on earth. Never. Until the Prince of Peace comes. I did not come to bring peace, but a what? A sword is a sort of weapon. Amen. It's a penetrating weapon, isn't it? Oh, hallelujah. Let's go a little further. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross or his sword to penetrate and follow after me is not what? Worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will what? Will find it. Whoa. He did not come to bring peace, but a penetrating weapon, which is a sword, which will open dimensional ports to infiltrate the enemy's camp. One of the things that's constantly need to be penetrated is called the veil of doubt, the veil of fear. The veil of unbelief. These are barriers. And of course, the veil of lust. It holds people as prisoners in bondage. I'm going to say that again. The penetrating sword that Jesus brought us, it's open dimensional ports to infiltrate the enemy's camp, and to infiltrate the veil, that dimensional barrier of doubt, fear, unbelief, and lust that hold people as a prisoner in bondage. In Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrew 4, hallelujah, penetrating weapons. Remember, as soldiers in the kingdom, we are called to battle. Amen? Our purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. And our destiny is to what? Infiltrate. Amen? With the talents and abilities God's given us to rescue those who've been taken captive. So we're to battle, we're to penetrate, hello, and we're to infiltrate. Hebrews 4, is everybody there? In verse 11, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is what? Living and what? Powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from its sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him, to him who we must what? Give account. Wow. Everybody must give account. Amen. Nobody escapes that. So we see that the word is living and powerful. In other words, it's energetic. It's full of power and energy. And this energetic power or energy is used to infiltrate. Because when you really think about it, everything has an electricity to it. Everything, all of creation is held together in that arena. Every one of us has a battery. Proverbs 18. Did you ever watch the Matrix movie? So they use humans for batteries. Proverbs 18. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 21, is everybody there? Let's speak it together, please. What's it say? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, wait a minute. Grab hold of this, because death and life is not in the tongue. It's in the power of the tongue. Hello. So your tongue is actually a weapon, because it has power. It is used to penetrate. In fact, the serpent penetrated Eve, didn't he? By him speaking to her and her responding. And what happened? He deceived her. She was wide open. See, she was supposed to depart, not associate. But when you set your will to association, you actually invite. Amen? So it says here that there's life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Death and life, energy of the tongue, power to penetrate, to infiltrate, and manifest a plan. See, in other words, we've got to penetrate. Remember, God's grace is a plan, isn't it? What is the grace? The grace of God is a plan to escape the deception of the devil and escape the deception of God's wrath. Escape God's wrath. Amen? Because if you can't escape the deception of the devil, you're going to fall into God's wrath. And God's plan is to rescue us from that. That's why he brought truth. He brought grace. Grace is not some magical, mystical thing, which a lot of people like to preach that you've been saved by grace so you can just go out and do anything you want to do. That's nothing but a lie from hell, because everybody must give account. Amen? So we see here that when we are with the tongue, as for utilizing it with the power of the tongue, when we speak and lining up with the power of the word, it becomes a penetrating weapon. And the purpose of that penetrating weapon is to penetrate the dimensional barriers of darkness. Is unbelief associated with darkness? Yes. How about fear? Yes, those are barriers. And hope to penetrate. That's why we must speak it. Remember, what you speak is what you eat. What you eat is what you become also. So in this, we want to be able to penetrate, to infiltrate, and release the plan of God so that individuals can escape. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, again, many people quit or give up. It's like drilling for oil. They stop. Because one of the things the enemy wants to tell you is nothing's happening. He wants to always tell you nothing's happening. He wants to try and infiltrate you with reason and justification. I can tell you something's always happening. The word says it won't, the Lord said he sent his word and will not return void. Just because we don't see the manifestation this second doesn't mean it's not going to. But see, when people quit, then the door shuts. If you stop drilling, it's over with, isn't it? Jesus paid the powerful example. If you think about not only his name, but when we speak the word of God, the word of God is like a big spike. Jesus used this when they nailed him to the cross. And they took the word and they used his name. And when you hit it, it pierces, doesn't it? Now, if you look at the whole arena of Jesus on the cross, if you were to pull the cross out of the earth, what would it become? A sword. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, is everybody there? We'll start at verse 1. Therefore, since we have this what? Ministry, as we receive mercy, we do not what? Lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, in other words, a barrier of an individual, that veil is on this person. If it's veiled from this person, that dimensional barrier is preventing. Does everybody understand it? That person is not receiving or it's not being spoken. Even if our gospel, the message of truth, is veiled, it is veiled to those who are what? Perishing. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Again, that veil, that dimensional burial veil, is doubt, unbelief, fear, lust. Does everybody get that? There must be penetration through those to infiltrate and release the plan of God. Penetrate the dimensional barrier we call the veil. It blinds individuals, doesn't it? There are still many people out there blind. There are people who call themselves Christians that are not really walking as a Christian. There's no penetration at all. In fact, they're the ones that are always being penetrated. In Ephesians chapter 6, simple reminder tonight why God is still working on every one of us in here. In verse 10, Ephesians 6, verse 10, penetrating weapons. Finally, my brethren, be what? Strong in the Lord and the what? And the what? And the power of his might, his energy. Amen. His presence, which releases energy. Man, you get energized in his presence, don't you? Snap, yeah. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the trickery of the devil. You know how many people don't even put on the full armor of God? And they wonder why things happen? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. In other words, we are battling something that is unseen. And the only way that you're going to get into their realm is by penetration with the penetrating weapons that God has given me and you. We want to access their realm. They've already accessed this realm. In fact, they rule this realm. Amen? But once we got cut loose, unplugged from this place, now we become armed and dangerous. Now demons run from us. At least they should. Although some people are still a hotel and they're paying no rent at all. Free rent. It must be under Obamacare or something. I don't know. It's one of those things, you know. Praise God, we won't go there. Verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, which holds your pants up, right? That's why we see everybody with the pants down, they're holding their pants, because they ain't got no truth. They're holding their pants. Pants on the ground, you know. Those are individuals that do not have truth. I don't understand it anyways. How can you outrun the police? Or you need to have somebody else hold your pants up when you're running. So you guys hold each other. Come on, let's get out of here. You hold mine, I'll hold yours. Hallelujah. Stand for having girded your waist with truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. That's what the enemy's shooting at you. Amen? And take the helmet of salvation and the what? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in tongues. That's what it means, in the Spirit. Let me tell you, when you're praying in tongues, you're penetrating. But I don't know what I'm penetrating. Thank God. You might be hitting the wrong place anyways. Does everybody understand? You are penetrating by praying in tongues. But I don't feel nothing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Does everybody understand it? When you pray in tongues, you are actually penetrating in the Spirit. These veils are always resistance, these dimensional barriers. There's resistance there. The enemy doesn't want you to penetrate, does he? So he'll always react to you in that area of doubt and fear and unbelief. That's what he tries to use. But be strong in the power or energy of the Lord, the sword of the Spirit, which is also known as the breath of God, that is the original penetrating weapon of God. The breath of God is the original penetrating weapon of God. With his words to penetrate and infiltrate to release the plan of God of manifestation. Ezekiel chapter 6. Ezekiel chapter 6. Hallelujah. In verse 1. Ezekiel chapter 6 and verse 1. Let's speak it together. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, set your face toward the mountains of Israel and prophesy against them. What was he using his mouth? Amen. Was he speaking what God was telling him to speak? So is it a sword? Yes. Is it a weapon of penetration? Yeah. Okay. And say of the mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains, to the hills, and to the ravens, and to the valleys. Indeed, I will bring a sword against you, and I will destroy your high places, which is the idols, satanic altars. Antichrist altars. Then your altar shall be destroyed, your incense altar shall be broken, and I will cast down your slain men before your idols. So do you understand that he was penetrating the dimensional barrier to infiltrate and bring destruction to the enemy's camp. And I will lay the corpses of the children of Israel before their idols, and I will scatter your bones all around your idols, your altars. And all your dwelling places, the city shall be laid waste, and the high places shall be desolate, so that your altars may be laid waste and made desolate. Your altars may be what? I mean, your idols may be broken and made to cease, and your incense altars may be cut down, and your works may be abolished. What were they doing? They were offering up things to demons. The slain shall fall in your midst, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So it was a sword to penetrate the enemy and break down the altars, idols, and high places of worship to demons. So when you are speaking, when you are praying, when you are infiltrating, you are actually penetrating first to infiltrate, to release the plan of God. Now let me share with you something important, because the plan of God is carried and manifested by the angels. So what you and I are doing is we are opening an arena. We are penetrating with the sword, with the word. We are penetrating. We are making an arena of open so that the angels can go in. So we are actually infiltrating now. So we are assisting our home, the military operation in the eternal realm. We are assisting them. So while we are penetrating and infiltrating to what? Release the plan of God. The angels are the ones that are carrying the plan of God to bring destruction, confusion in the enemy's camp, bind them, blind them, mute them, call destructive fire down in their altars. They're the ones that bring it. Does everybody get that? But we must do our part to penetrate and then infiltrate. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. So praise is a wonderful way to penetrate. It's a weapon of praise. It is one of the most powerful arenas of penetration. Why? Because when you praise, you change the whole atmosphere. You're pushing back powers of darkness. Angels are dispatched. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 21. Now, what was going on here was that King Jehoshaphat was being invaded by militaries all around him. There was no way he was going to win this war. So he went to the Lord and started praying, and the Lord sent a word to him and said, man, set the praise and worship team up. In fact, send them before the army. In verse 21, he said, so when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now when they began to sing and praise, the Lord did what? Set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were what? defeated. And the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. In other words, they were killing one another. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah had come to the place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. Let me tell you, the military never even got a chance to fight, because their praise and worship penetrated and infiltrated, and the Lord released the angels to go move one another and the other armies to kill one another. Can you imagine if more praise was going up now? Hallelujah. So when they came to the place overlooking, they saw all these dead bodies, which no one is. Then Jehoshaphat and his people came and took away their spoil. They found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were there 3 days gathering the spoil. How many of you know the devil's come to steal, kill, and destroy? How many of you know he's got storehouses of things he stole from you? Hello? Well, how are you going to access that storehouse? Man, I pray that every day. I want that storehouse he stole from me. I pray that every day. I go after it. I infiltrate those storehouses, get them released, not only to myself, but into the hands of the righteous. So we must penetrate, infiltrate. Amen? And then the Lord dispatches the angels so that his plan comes forth. And yet what you're speaking is associated with what's going to happen there. See, we've got to stop looking short-sighted. We've got to look dimensionally. And that's what we talked about, dimensional thinking. Amen? Now we need dimensional prayers to bust through those barriers of resistance. See, so many times, even in the tabernacle of God, right? There's the three courts, outer court, holy place, most holy place. That's what the first scripture we use. There's so many believers never even access the second chamber. They're still living in the outer court, never even entered the holy place or the most holy place because they've never pressed through enough. But they've seen others press through and go, man, I want what they got. But they're not willing to pay the price to press through because you must penetrate each veil. Each veil is a dimensional barrier. And as you press through and penetrate each veil, as you praise and worship, so you start off with dancing and praising and worship, then you go into worship. When you get into worship, you're invited in to the other, and you're lost. Then it's la-la land. Then it's peace, joy, and righteousness. There's no care. There's no nothing. Who gives a hoot? You're free. There's no worry. There's no nothing. It's over with. And you've touched a place, and let me tell you, when you touch that place, you change. You can't help but change. And you know what? You can't help but want more. When you don't want more, you ain't reached it. That's where believers are still carnal, living in the outer courts. Those are carnal Christians. Psalm 34. That's why we have a penetrating prayer booklet. Shortcut to kick butt. Use it so you don't lose it. Psalm 34, verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. I will what? I will bless the Lord when? So if I'm blessing the Lord at all times, am I constantly penetrating? You betcha. I will bless the Lord at all times. His what? His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Man, his sword will constantly be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his what? His name. His name. Again, his name is like using a hammer. Let us exalt his name. Continual penetrate with praise. Psalm 100. That's why I can't emphasize enough. Those words come on the wall, right? The words come on the wall. Use the words, man. Humming won't do nothing for you. Tapping your foot won't do nothing either. And as you sing the words, you start clapping. Why? Because demons hate the sound of clapping. So when you're actually clapping, you're saying, shoo, shoo. They hate it when you clap. It hurts them. You see, why? Because you're using penetrating words. You're using the penetrating weapons of praise. And then you're using the clap. It's like putting slap, slap. They hate it. It bothers their ears. They got ears. I don't know what the heck. But they can hear, they can speak, and they have emotion. That's why they want to use you to get it, because they get fed by emotion. But they don't get fed by godly emotion. And they sure hate when we gather together and start praising and worshiping the Lord and clapping our hands. You know what happens? They start fleeing. So let me share with you something. So if you're trying to shake some demons from you and you start praising and worshiping and, yeah, glory, and they start loosening you, what about the person that ain't? Then they leave with their pants half down just about. You know? God didn't do nothing for me because you didn't do nothing for God. Rebellious flesh creature. Psalm 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Yee-hoo! Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with what? Singing. Now he's going to explain the chambers here. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. Hello. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his what? Gates. That's a place where you're going to penetrate through. Why? Because you're loosening yourself. It's spirit to spirit. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. And his what? Courts. Those are the chambers. With praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. We're pressing through each court to get to his name, the person. And bless it. John 17. Gospel of John. Penetrating weapons. Christian t-shirts are not penetrating weapons. Hi, I'm a Christian. And humble. Oh, puke. I'm your humble servant. Outer quarter. I told you that's why they got rid of those bands. What would Jesus do, right? Because people couldn't do it. So I'm done with this. I haven't seen people wear them anymore. What would Jesus do? Oh, God, have mercy. John 17 and verse 6. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree, I'm in the wrong location. Come out in Jesus' name. That's what he'd say to that mulberry tree. Glory. I must have got caught up. Praise God. Penetrated the wrong building. John 17 and verse 6. Is everybody there? Good. Praise God. Let's speak it together, please. You go first. I have. Yeah, we're all right. Yeah. I have what? Manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now, wait a minute. I have manifested your name. In other words, I have brought your name and penetrated into this realm and brought your name into this realm. I've manifested your name. His name that he's been trying to get here had to be placed with a person himself. See, he brought his own name. I can't bring anybody else's name, and neither can you. God sent his name, prepared a body, put his spirit in there, breathed in him, gave him his spirit, gave him his tongue. Jesus was the tongue of God. He was the presence of God. He was the name of God. He was the word of God. He was the walking creation for me and you to actually, for people to see. Did you ever talk to yourself? Well, that's what God and Jesus did. He actually talked to himself. But he allowed people to see it so there'd be a relationship of father, son, daughter, father. Does everybody understand that? So he manifested his name. I tried telling this to a Jehovah Witness one day. The only thing I saw was the bottom of their feet, especially when I started praying in tongues. I said to them, I made it real simple. Okay. I brought out, you know, the name above all names. I had this teaching all ready for them because I was expecting them to come by. They were right on schedule. So I opened the door. Hey, welcome. And they wanted to, you know, because they don't believe in all kinds of things anyway. So I said, well, let's pray. They said, okay. I chased them down the street, made sure I got the teaching. I got the teaching in their hand, though, even though they took off. Mormons come. They come in the house. Just make sure you lock the door so they can't leave. Then you give them deliverance prayers, and you can all pray together with them. I have manifested your name to the men whom you've given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now, they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have now surely, know surely that I have come forth from you. They have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I don't pray for the world, but I pray for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you've given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except for the son of perdition, that the scripture may be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also send them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Amen? So he manifested his name in this realm to be used as a penetrating weapon with the tongue of the righteous. Only the tongue of the righteous. Does everybody understand that? The only way the name of Jesus can come out of a tongue of an unbeliever is when they become a believer. Because other than that, most of them use it as cursing. Mark 16, penetrating weapon. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Mark 16, our famous 16:16. Mark 16, verse 16. Hallelujah. What does it say? Let's speak it together. And he who what? Believes. What's the word believe mean? Follow. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be what? Condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They were going to what? Cast out demons. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Look at, check this out. Okay, he says, in my name they're going to cast out demons, penetrate. And then he says, and they will speak with new tongues. They will penetrate. Because tongues is also used to what? Penetrate. Does everybody get it? So if you got the gift of tongues and you're just leaving it on the shelf, shame on you. Use it. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Amen. They will recover. In my name, cast out devils, cast out sickness, cast out whatever. Cast them out. Because our fight is against what? Demons. Voices. That's the fight. And until that's understood, people are caught up in that cycle. Then they think everything is them. Well, it's me. No, it's not. It's demons. Disembodied spirits that need a body to live in. And I want to close at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Penetrating weapons. Man, you get oppressed, pick up the penetrating prayer booklet. You want to get angry? Listen, somebody offends you or something? Forgive them, bless them. Get angry at the enemy, not the person. Even though the person may be a bonehead. Amen? The only reason why a devil can use a person is because that person lets them. Does everybody get it? That person lets them. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. Would you read it, please? For the message of the cross is what? Foolish to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the what? Power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block and to Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But what? God has chosen the what? The foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are what? Mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that is written, he who glories, let him what? Glory in the Lord. Praise God. Penetrating weapons. You know, everywhere you go, you should always bind a strong man before you get there. Take dominion. I bind a strong man. Why? Strong men are high-ranking demons. They're foot soldiers. You bind them. No matter where I go, before I leave my house, I bind every strong man that I may enter and plunder the goods of the evil one, wherever the Lord chooses to send me. And of course, and I always do it again anyways. So I'm penetrating, infiltrating, and the angels are being dispatched to bind that strong man. We've got to begin to see this dimensional thinking. We've got to begin to walk in this more. But it's not going to start until we deny ourselves. Amen? That's how it starts. Deny yourself. Pick up the sword and follow. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. I ask, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, that you continue to remove those things in us that have not been planted by you, and that you begin to replace them with boldness. Boldness. Aggressive authority. And knowing who we are, and utilizing the sword of the Spirit to penetrate, infiltrate, and manifest your glory. We thank you, Lord. Raise us up to be your swords, to be your weapons, and to bring glory to your name, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Be blessed.